Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 68.
Oh, God!
Elliot.
What?
Elliot?
I taught him how to talk now. He can talk now.
Elliot.
Look what he brought up here all by himself.
Elliot.
What's he need this stuff for?
Elliot.
E.T., can you say that? Can you say E.T.? E.T.
E.T. E.T., E.T., E.T. Be good.
Be good. I taught him that, too.
You should give him his dignity. This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Phone.
Phone? He said phone? He said phone?
Can't you understand English? He said phone.
Best man. Let me tell you my story, man. Last year, I was insane for this crazy little eighth grade bitch.
Okay? Crazy? Insane?
Insane?
Crazy? I was nuts for the woman, man. Now, you gotta believe me. I'm serious. I'm telling the truth here. I'm speaking to you. I mean, I was nuts for the girl. And what did it to me was these big titties she had. For a 13-year-old girl, man. She wouldn't have to worry about no titties for the rest of her life, boy. You know, she was set and she was looking good, son.
That's the truth, baby.
I called every night for like a month. I mean, I'm talking devotion, man.
Every damn night?
Every night, Mitch. I ain't playing with you.
On the telephone?
What this boy talking about? On the telephone, man.
Explain it
what
to
the
him.
Hell? That's goddamn, we know there's a telephone, boy. What the hell thing I doing?
But he hung up on her.
Oh, you didn't hang up on her. The chick with those big, big titties?
Man, you did. Man, you know, now here's the camper. You know what the bitch did to me?
Lay it on.
Check this shit out. Listen to what she did to me.
She kneed you in the nuts and called him faggot in front of everybody.
No. She did what? Bitch kneed your nuts?
Bitch kneed my nuts, bitch. I'm not playing with you either, man.
In the family jewel?
In the family jewel, man.
Worst pain there is.
Broke my heart in two.
Broke more than your heart.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Rachel Zeleg.
What's happening, hot stuff?
In this episode, we are continuing on with our theme of childhood favorites, and we are going to be taking a look at the film E.T. the Extraterrestrial and Weird Science. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. So, Mrs. Zeleg, after the first tailgating experience of the season, are you having an alcoholic beverage for me? Are you tapping out?
No, I'm having a bev.
I was going to say, you're a former cruise. Once a cruise, right. Always a cruise.
Yeah, there's still cruise blood in these veins.
So what are you having?
I'm drinking Coors Light. Because my new motto is good enough for E.T., good enough for me.
Oh, smart.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have that clip at the beginning of our show.
Good.
So that's good. It's the tail end of that clip, I guess. But,
okay.
And I am having from our good friends at Zipline Brewing. We went to a Zipline beer dinner not too long ago. And so we managed to get a few bottles on the cheap, so I'm having their oatmeal porter.
Oh yeah, that's good.
That is good. It's like,
was it dinner and beer, or was it just like beer that they pretended that you're also eating? And
no,
you just
it was
five courses of beer.
You got to eat a lot and drink a lot. It was like a combo thing. So
okay.
It was double the pleasure kind of a situation.
Oh, I always like that.
So. We're going to start with your selection, and it is from 1982, and it is E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
In 1975, he directed Jaws. In 1978, he directed Close Encounters of the Third Kind. In 1981, he directed Raiders of the Lost Ark. And now, Steven Spielberg brings us E.T. the Extraterrestrial. We will witness the arrival, the search, the desertion, the fear, the discovery, the friendship.
I'm keeping him.
The secret. The love. The warning. The signal. The mystery. The danger. The intrusion. The wonderment. The enchantment. The hope. The connection has been made. Universal Pictures presents Steven Spielberg's E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
A group of aliens visit Earth, and one of them is lost and left behind, stranded on this planet, Earth, this one. The alien is found by a 10-year-old boy, Elliot. Soon the two begin to communicate and start a different kind of friendship, in which E.T. learns about life on Earth, and Elliot learns about some new values for the true meaning of friendship. E.T. wants to go home, but if Elliot helps him, he'll lose a friend. Bum, bum, bum.
Mm-hmm. So this is your pick, so tell me about you and E.T.
We go way back.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Why?
Well, I'll get to why it's interesting. So tell me more about it. Like, tell me what... Is this a Cruise family staple or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it's one of those where you can't remember the first time you watched it. And actually, I have a funny story that goes along with this. It had to have been like 89 or 90. It must have been 89 because Katie was a baby. I was a flower girl in my aunt and uncle's wedding. And I was like, oh, what's the ring bearer's name? And my mom told me it was Elliot. So for like 6 months, I thought I was going to meet the kid that was friends with E.T. And I had like all these questions saved up. I was like, can we take a picture with Elliot? And my mom's like, of course there are going to be plenty of pictures taken. I was so pumped. And then I meet this kid and he has like blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm like clearly disappointed that this is not who I thought it was.
Like, who the fuck is this piece of shit?
Right. I don't even know this kid.
Yeah. You're expecting to walk down the aisle with this chump?
Right, like I was really disappointed because like nobody bothered to tell me that it wasn't Elliot E.T.'s friend. That was at 5.
That's good. I like that. It's rare that we have stories like that in the show. That's good. So my history with E.T. and it's kind of an interesting one because this is the film out of ours in this whole theme that's the most critically acclaimed, right?
Oh, okay.
It's the one that people historically have said is the most well-made film.
Right. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
You know, because it's a Steven Spielberg movie and,
right.
And while he had a part in The Goonies, it's, you know, it's a different thing.
Right.
And I remember seeing this, it had to have been in the theater. And so I was like 3 or 4.
Wow. Right? You remember that?
And the only thing I remember about it is I remember my mom, and this is in my memory, so whether this actually happened or not, but I remember my mom giving me such a hard time after the fact for just sleeping most of the movie.
Oh my god, you were 3!
You know? And so I've seen it, obviously, and, but before seeing it for this, it's probably been 15, 20 years.
Right?
Like, it's been a long time since I saw it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, E.T., you know, I obviously know what E.T. is, and the riding the bike and the moon and you know, all of that kind of stuff. And E.T. dressed like a woman, I clearly remember that. But there were large sections of the film that I didn't recall whatsoever. And, like, huge plot points that I didn't remember.
Yeah.
And so I thought that I was just like, what? Oh, God, I don't remember this at all. So I don't know. I think that was kind of interesting. And some of the things that I just kind of want to get out of the way is you know, it's a Spielberg movie, so of course there's father issues.
Right.
You know, the dads abandon the family.
I don't think there's father issues more as there's single mom issues.
Well, yeah.
Care.
Yeah, and the mom is interesting because the mom is not a super good mom.
Right. I was thinking that too, because, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, at the beginning, the kids are all sitting around and they're playing and they're having a good time, whatever. But they're like ordering food and she has no idea and she's just running around like this.
Order a pizza?
Yeah, and she's running around in this bathrobe.
I know.
Like, what is she? I was like, what is she doing? Like, she definitely needs it bad. Like, she's having problems. And so she's like trying to make herself feel wanted by shaking it in front of these little.
Right. Well, the Halloween cat suit basically tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to say was that she dresses up in this cat suit. To apparently, like, go nowhere for all of it. I mean,
right. It's just in case some, like, hot single dad takes his kids trick-or-treating.
Yeah. And what was funny was that, you know, one of the major choices that the film has is that it's shot mostly from the kids' point of view. So, you know, sure. you all you see is blacked faces. You don't see a lot of adults until the later half of the film.
Right.
And so that makes sense that you wouldn't see that the mom was wherever she was going. But it was just like, oh my God, the early 80s where you could just say, ah, go ahead, kids, you'll be fine. Like, just go do whatever. And she leaves Drew Barrymore's character at home.
While she goes to pick up him from school?
Yeah, she's like, oh, I'll only be gone for 10 minutes.
And she's like, one of the things that, you know, is so fun about this whole month is watching it when you're little and watching it from a completely different perspective when you're older.
Yeah.
Because I thought that, like, and you don't think about that at all because you're so worried about her talking to E.T., you know, and you're like, oh, Sesame Street's on. But, like, now I'm like, she can't just leave her here. Just take her in the car. Or, like, why?
Yeah, because that, I mean, you know, Anna's older than her, but it's the same thing. It's like, I'm not just going to leave her.
And she's older than her.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I gotta go to the grocery store that's literally 4 minutes away.
Right, can you just stay here?
But you're still coming with, so sorry about it.
Right! I mean, that kind of just goes along. It goes along with, like, it's like the Rugrats mentality, where, like, they mean well, but, like, how do the kids always escape from the playpen for, like, 5 hours?
And, yeah. You know,
it helps the plot of the story along if they kind of have some freedom to do basically whatever in the hell they want, so.
Sure. And so, you know, I remembered the, you know, the aliens all being there, E.T. being left and, you know, being chased and all that sort of stuff like that. That wasn't anything that I hadn't.
See, I didn't remember that because I used to tell my sister not to let me in the room until that was over because it made me nervous.
Oh.
So, like, I remember, like, the flashlight and the running. But I don't remember all the cute other little ETs, like, getting the plants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I'd be like, tell me when that part's over, and so she would let me know.
Yeah. I guess before discussing some of the plot of it, what did you think of the creature design of ET looking at it this time? Like, when you just look at the actual thing.
The thing?
Yeah.
I thought it was really cute.
Mm.
And I'm sure that's the main point of why he looks the way he does. I mean, like, I don't know what aliens look like, and so, like, I'm not sure how to compare that. He obviously looks way more approachable than a lot of aliens do in a lot of other sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't really, you know, because sometimes in, like, other movies you get, like, a reason why they look the way they do. They're, like, adaptable because maybe they like plants, so they, you know,
mm-hmm.
like long fingers, sure. or something. But, I mean, like, I always thought E.T. was cute, and I didn't think he was any less cute than I did back then.
Yeah, so. It just struck me as, I don't know, like, it's weird because I was so aware just in general of E.T. that I almost forget about it. But it reminds me of how much other designs have used this initial design.
Okay.
Whether it's like Short Circuit, like Johnny Five and Short Circuit.
Or Wally.
Or, and Wally was the other one I was going to say, yeah.
With the big eye, the big innocent eyes.
Yeah, the big emotion-filled eyes, right? That's what
the
I was...
The short body. Huh. Mm-hmm.
And so it's just like, here's the prototype for those things. And I don't think that that's a coincidence, and I don't think that they're ripping it off. I think it's just a shorthand of, it's a familiar shape.
It's like a subconscious thing.
Yeah, and it's like an unassuming, innocent-looking thing.
Right.
And that's kind of your subconscious shorthand now.
Nice. That's a good call.
So, I don't know. So I thought that that was interesting, but the main thing that, that I wanted to make sure and bring up was I completely forgot about like the emotional transference stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like with the E.T. getting drunk and it affecting Elliot.
Sure.
Like, I didn't remember that at all.
Oh.
Because I was sitting there watching it, and I'm watching it for a while, you know, and it's the whole being nervous of, oh, I hope the mom doesn't see him. And,
right.
You know, and then I was sitting there thinking at one point, and I was like, what the hell happens? Like, it's like, I know he has to leave. And I know he's like, they're working on him at some point, but how the hell do they get there? And, you know, I remembered the astronaut stuff and the big tube that they do all that sort of thing with, but I had completely forgot that he just decides, you know what? Fuck it. I'm having a beer.
Right. I'm chugging like 4 beers.
And I thought that that Henry Thomas, who it's tough because, you know, your movie's dependent on child actors.
Yeah.
But I thought that he was tremendous when he was being drunk.
Yeah.
Like, well, that genuinely made me laugh hard.
Yes. Yeah. And he, like, kisses a girl. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that, too. Like, I thought he actually did a really good job in this, you know, as far as, like, you know, like, crying and, like, some of it was a little over the top, but, like, the emotions that he had when he was, like, yelling and upset, like, you know, sometimes yeah. You can totally tell when they're, like, Okay, go ahead and.
Yeah, more, bigger performance.
Right, but I think he did like a really good job, and you know, it's obviously an interesting. Like, I don't even know how adults could be like, okay, so I'm emotionally tied to this alien, you know. But he did a good job for what they were asking him to
do. Yeah, absolutely. And what you know, I thought that too about the performance because, you know, I'm much more of a. I like the more naturalistic, like realistic performances, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so when a kid is so big like this in his performance, my initial thought is always to be like, ah, I don't know. But with the, you know, the last however many months with a little one.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, the kids are just really big like that.
Oh,
like
the, yeah.
You know, that's him being true to being a child. Oh, and, and it's something that I think that I would lose sight of, given a different circumstance.
Sure.
So. But I thought that was really good. What do you have written down before I start getting too far into it here?
Well, like you were just talking about how you forgot that it ended. Like I did forget some things, but I guess that I've watched this so many times. I was watching it with Brad, and I made some Brad quote notes.
Oh yes, these are always quality. I like those.
Well, Drew Barrymore, he kept yelling. Stop talking Drew Barrymore because he thought that was really funny that was there. And we were talking about how she was crying and it was really cute.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like, what? I said, what do you think they told her to make her cry? And of course, your parents are dead was like the response that I got from that. And then he hasn't seen this movie in so long. Well, first of all, he was super angry with John Williams because he's like, did that guy just make up one song and play it over and over again, sad, and then not so sad, and then more? So, like, he had troubles with that.
He didn't like the score? That's interesting.
Well, he liked the score, but he felt like it got played over and over again.
Hmm.
Well,
I would say that he's in the minority since it won Best Original Score.
Right. Well, I have been, since I watched this, I've been singing this to myself at work.
Oh, like, well, there you go.
And then... He hasn't seen it for so long that he, like, when they were, he was sick,
yeah.
He asked me if he dies.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, yep. Yeah, he dies. Just
well, what's funny, and here's a little background about this, is Anna and I were watching Ratatouille.
All right, right.
And we were getting towards the end of it, and, you know, she's sick, so she's doesn't have the greatest of memory and isn't very reliable. And so she says, this movie's really long. And I was like, well, yeah, it's kind of long. What are you getting at? You know, and she says, well, this, each time I watch the movie, it gets longer. It does. And I was like, no, movies don't do that. They don't get longer. And she's like, well, I haven't seen this part, so the movie must get longer. I've seen the short version.
What?
And I'm like, no, that's not a thing. And so she was arguing with me, and I'm like, all right, that's enough. Okay. So we're watching E.T., and it's the part where E.T.'s found, and he's all pink in the water.
Oh, he's like white.
Well, he's like all, I thought he was like all pinkish first, and then he turns white or something, but regardless. So he's there, and I go, well, Anna, you know we're watching the extended version of E.T., right? And she's like, kind of looks at me funny, and I go, well, because in this version, he dies at the end. And she's like, no, he doesn't. And I was like, yeah, he does, watch. And so she's just sitting there, like, gripping the pillow just a little bit.
You're kind of a shit.
Well, you know, it's like that thing where it's like, she's seen it more than I have by now, I think. You know, so it's like, just trying to keep her on her toes a little bit.
Wow.
So that was fun.
It was fun telling her people die. Aliens die.
But I thought that they did a really good job of making it look like he was really sick.
Yeah.
Because, man, with all the makeup on when he was white, I mean, he looks bad.
One thing that I did notice that I obviously did not notice when I was younger is that I think Steven Spielberg may have been having a contest to see if he could use the most natural light ever in a movie.
Mm.
Because it's all light shining through windows, light, and if it is not natural light, it's like light coming from a doorway with a silhouette. I just thought that was really interesting, like, cause there was just something I noticed, like, he's in his room and the lights aren't on, but there's those huge windows, you know, and the lights are coming through there, and just like kind of what it was like from the very beginning.
Do you like that, or did you find it distracting?
I didn't hate it. Mm. I found it distracting to the point where I noticed it, I guess. But it wasn't like, oh my God, he's using natural light again. Like, obviously it was noticeable to me where I was like, oh, okay. But, I just thought that was, I didn't know if there was like some sort of weird fetish that he had with not turning lights on or...
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine, I mean, just off the top of my head, I would imagine it's probably something to where he's trying to make it look more real. So it's trying to make it look more real world instead of like on a movie set and everything's perfectly lit. Okay, well,
that makes sense.
And then, you know, you have this alien in more of a real world type of a look.
Sure, okay.
Movie maybe.
Like kind of setting the stage a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. But I thought that the, you know, I was really into the not seeing adults thing.
Like, just the guys in the car?
Yeah, like the, you know, not being able to see anyone's faces. And when, you know, and having it all just blacked out. Like, I thought that was really cool. And then I have to admit, I was a little bit disappointed when that kind of just went away. I was like, oh.
I was disappointed when the full-clothed astronaut burst through the door with no explanation and started waving his arms like it was a scary movie.
When they started doing the Thriller stuff and, like, busting through the windows. And
yeah.
That was a little interesting. I was like, they wouldn't just say, hey, we're from the...
Exactly.
Because, you know, Center of Disease Control or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, like, going into that real-world thing, as far as you can go with having a movie about an alien, it did seem pretty... you know, natural, you know, like, it did seem pretty real world until that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
It's like, oh, and a giant, like, he's fully suited up an astronaut. He's not even in, like, quarantine gear or anything, like, and his face isn't showing, and so he can't even tell this lady what he's there for. He just, like, kind of zombies in, and I was like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a disappointing scene to me.
Yeah, it was definitely a striking image. I was like, what's this now?
Well, because if they wanted, I know what they meant to do there, you know, it's the scary people, the bad guys that don't understand aliens, you know, like, they could have figured something else out, I feel like. They could have been like, we need to take the alien now and, like, ripped him away or something, like, kind of Big Daddy style or something, if they really wanted to tug the heartstrings, but...
Yeah. So I don't know. That's, that is interesting. It's something that I guess the more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't really like that, I guess, either.
I just don't trust astronauts to begin with.
Well, so there you go.
Fuck's this guy doing here?
Who would? I also like how the original idea was a little bit of a darker film. And then that got spun off into what became Poltergeist.
What?
Yeah, cause
what do you mean?
Well, because it's right here. It's, you know, Steven Spielberg, he produced Poltergeist, but he kind of like ghost directed it. Like he's not listed on the credits, but it's one of those things where he essentially took it over and directed the film. But here on IMDb, for, you know, the wonderful IMDb that's never wrong, says Steven Spielberg's original concept was a much darker movie in which a family was terrorized in their house by aliens. When Spielberg decided to go with the more benevolent alien, the Family in Jeopardy concept was recycled as Poltergeist.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes more sense because ghosts are obviously scarier than aliens.
Yeah, it could be. Could very well be. Like, some of the stuff that I think is interesting, you know, where it talks about how, you know, the script was written during Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, it's just kind of like the famous director and how the next film came into play. Like, I think that sort of stuff is interesting.
Yeah. What is his, I mean, just, like, without getting too much off the subject, like, what is his obsession with aliens?
I don't know. Well, I don't think that he's done, like, an absurd amount. I mean, he did this and Close Encounters and War with the Worlds.
Wasn't he little kid that saw the dead people?
The Sixth Sense?
No, where Jude Law is a sexy robot.
Oh, AI?
Yeah.
That was him and Stanley Kubrick.
But it was still him.
But it was like, yeah, it was still him. He, like, he took over that after Kubrick passed, after he died. So yeah, I think he was just kind of completing the film. But yeah, that's more like robots and real people, not aliens, right?
Sure, I just kind of meant like sci-fi.
Again. Oh yeah, well, I think he's a big sci-fi guy. I mean, he did Minority Report, and he's done a lot of different sci-fi movies.
Right, which sure. I mean, like, most of them I enjoy a lot, so I'm not saying, like, oh, he needs to stop doing what he's doing, but I just wondered if there was, like, some, like, weird daddy issue sci-fi.
Yeah, I think he definitely has, I mean, he for sure has the daddy issues. I mean, he's, almost all of his films have a lot of, you know, abandoned fathers sort of a thing going on, but he, you know, he did... The last film that he did was Lincoln, and then the next one he has coming up is yet to be titled, but it's a Cold War movie.
Ugh.
Great.
Can't wait to see that.
And then another film that has been announced is another Indiana Jones. I don't know about that.
Retirement Home.
I don't know about that one. So yeah, I mean, Spielberg, he's an interesting guy. I mean, obviously he's got his huge, wildly successful films, and then he has you know, some films like you know, Hook that isn't that isn't loved
by you.
You know, like, I don't think that
you don't ever stand outside of your house and yell Rufie.
So maybe that's a thing that just you do or something. But, you know, like, I don't know that Empire of the Sun was was a huge sweeping success. But, you know, he kind of has his summer blockbuster, which, you know, which he created with Jaws, and then he's got his more prestige films with, you know, Schindler's List and
sure.
The Color Purple and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, so. I guess he takes risks. He does what he wants.
Yeah, he does what he wants. He's just, it's always got that Spielberg look, you know, it's got the lens flare. It's got the father issues. It's got this sort of sweetness to it at times. And that's what was so shocking about
Apollo,
you know, Saving Private Ryan and Schindler's List, as it took kind of some of that away. He didn't do Apollo 13, but that was Ron Howard, remember?
Oh, I feel like, yes, I remember now.
Yeah. So anyway, so what do you think? What do you think of the end? Did it get you emotionally when you were a kid, when he has to leave his friend?
Like, I don't remember being, like, really sad about it. I was just like, oh, that's tough. I remember when I was little, I was actually really disappointed that they didn't show him, like, going into the ship and, like, saying hi to everybody else.
Oh, to make like, sure it was cool that they had to come all this way to pick him up and...
Yeah, well, like, I wanted to see inside of there and see what where they were going next, you know, like, what kind of fun little tiny sausage finger people adventures they were going to have.
But that's the intrigue though, right? Is it makes you think about it more because you don't see it. Just like with the shark. You don't see it, so it's scarier.
But this time, like, they land and the thing opens, the gate, the alien gate that looks like a gate, and the one alien comes out, and I thought for a split second that it was gonna go, E.T., your meatloaf's getting cold. Because it looked just like a mob, like, standing on the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where have you been? We've been looking all over you. But it didn't happen.
That would have been good.
I know, right?
It would have taken me out of the film a bit, if I'm being honest.
Outtake.
Maybe that's in a different take.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Some prankster on set.
Yeah.
Did it get dusty at your house?
No, it didn't. It didn't actually get close either. You know, because I'm one for a good cry during a movie, but it didn't really hit me. And I don't know why. I guess I just wasn't feeling the feelings because it just felt like, you know, it's this little kid that is great that he found an alien, but it's not like he'd been around it for years or something. It was just
he'd
had it for a few days and. Or, you know, a week or whatever, and it was like, oh, that's really cool, and I'm glad you found a friend, and that's too bad that he has to go away, but it's like, grow up and shave your face, Elliot, like, jeez. You know, I was like, well, yeah, you won't ever see him, but he'll be right here, he says he'll be right here.
He put a worm in your brain, you'll see him every day.
He had the long, porny finger and touched him with it, so.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think by the time we got to the end, I was so, I didn't, you know, I can't watch this movie, like, really 100%, like, invested in it, because I'm just thinking, like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
And so, like, by the time I got to the end, I wasn't like, oh, Lord, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this part. So, I mean, like, I think that I kind of screwed myself over if I really did want to have a good cry, but it didn't happen for me either.
Oh, you want to have a good cry? I got plenty of material here, so.
I don't need to read your diary, okay?
Well, you think this is fucked up? Read this. I don't know. It was one that I was glad that, you know, it was another one of those ones at $5 at Target that we scooped up. And so it was one that I'm glad that we own, and I'm glad that we watched for this. And I really enjoyed it, but I wasn't like, oh, fucking E.T., how have I gone this far without seeing it again, you know?
Right.
So I wasn't singing its praises, but I had a good time watching it.
Yeah, I'm really glad that I did a rewatch, because like you said, I think it's probably been 15 years at least since I've seen it too, and so it's kind of an, you know, maybe I won't go 15 years without watching it again, but it's kind of nice to revisit every once in a while.
Yeah, well, you know, there's fun parts about it, and there's funny parts about it, and you can just throw it in and, you know, do whatever you want to do around the house while it's on. Like, it's not an offensive film or anything. And,
right, yeah.
So... All right, well, moving on. Our next film is my selection, and one that I changed to pick this. So it's a little on the fly, but it's 1985, and it is Weird Science.
You know, it's not a bad idea.
What?
Making a girl. Actually making a girl.
This is Wyatt and Gary.
I give her Womdigious mammary glands.
Something's about to change their world. Something out of this world.
She's alive! Alive!
What would you little maniacs like to do first?
It's all in the name of science. Weird science.
If you want to be a party animal, you have to learn to live in the jungle.
Not us.
Not here. No way.
She is turning their lives.
Trust me for once, will you?
What is going on?
Gary, I don't know.
I don't know.
Their minds. and their house upside down.
It's seriously affecting your sex life.
It's completely unnatural.
Do you realize it's snowing in my room?
Totally unbelievable.
What's going on?
And definitely weird.
Hey, dudes.
They went from zeros to heroes in one fantastic weekend.
That's so good.
Universal Pictures presents a John Hughes film, Weird Science.
It's purely sexual.
Two unpopular teenagers, Gary Wallace and Wyatt Donnelly, fail at all attempts to be accepted by their peers. Their desperation to be liked leads them to create a woman via their computer. Their living and breathing creation is a gorgeous woman, Lisa, whose purpose is to boost their confidence level by putting them into situations which require Gary and Wyatt to act like men. On their road to becoming accepted, they encounter many hilarious obstacles, which gives the movie an overall sense of silliness.
Okay. Thank you, IMDb. So, I picked this movie because I have seen this many, many times, but most of the time it was always like on a USA or a TBS.
Yes, yeah.
You know, and it was just kind of on and all the shits, and there are many shits. Because at one point we were debating whether Anna was old enough to watch this or not. And I'm sitting there thinking, and Elle was like, well, I don't know, I think it's a little sexy for her. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess there is a lot of references. And then I was sitting there thinking about it, and I was like, well, I guess there's a lot of swearing in it now that I think about it.
Like, isn't the F word in there?
Yeah, I believe the F word. And they literally say shit a lot. So I was like, whoa, okay.
Shit is the teenage word. Shit is the PG-13 cool word.
Yeah. And so so we decided we would watch this after she went to sleep because we were trying to be responsible.
Well.
And my first, I guess my history, that's pretty much the extent of it, was I didn't see this in the theater, but I'm pretty sure I saw this on VHS, you know, fairly soon after it came out. You know, to where I was probably like 8 or 9. So it would have been out for maybe a year at the most.
Nice.
So what about you? When did you come across this movie?
This is John Hughes, right?
Yeah, this is John Hughes.
I didn't really get into him until, like, I was in college, I think. Because when all of his Wheelhouse movies were coming out, I was still too young. Like, I was...
Yeah, it was younger. More my age than your age.
Yeah, I was younger than Anna was, so my parents, you know, were also semi-responsible, and they were like, no, you can't watch this, which is fine. But, like, it was all during that Wheelhouse, like, I was in college, I'm like, oh, 16 Candles and Weird Science and what's the other one? Where
Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, Breakfast Club. Oh, no, I don't know why, but Ferris Bueller was before that, but anyway, it doesn't matter. So I probably saw this for the first time, like, probably freshman year of college.
Oh, really? Okay. Huh. Interesting. So what, I picked it, so I like it quite a bit. So what did you think about it?
Oh, I thought it was great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know if we were gonna have a debate on,
I mean, it obviously has its, its 80s appeal.
Oh, it's very, very 80s.
And it's teenage humor appeal. Uh-huh. But I mean, I still laughed at a lot of the jokes that were on there right now. So I mean, whatever that tells you about me.
Right. Well, and you had to appreciate Robert Downey Jr., right?
Oh my God, the eye rolls are the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
The young ass Robert Downey in this.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
He's obviously not your favorite character, though, right?
No. Chet's my favorite by a long ways.
Thank you. Okay. I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Oh, yeah. So I do like that opening scene because I think that, you know, first of all, I find it interesting that it's, you know, Anthony Michael Hall, who, yeah, he's still playing a nerd, but he's playing a much different type of a nerd.
Yeah. He
played in Breakfast Club.
He's like, yeah, he's not completely uptight.
Yeah, he's a lot more aggressively unpopular.
Aggressively unpopular.
Yeah, like he's trying to be cool. In Breakfast Club, he's just like, look, I'm
worried about grades. Yeah,
he's like, I'm just sticking my head down and doing my schoolwork. Like,
getting shoved into lockers. And
yeah, I don't give a shit. But here, he's like, you know, he's trying to get laid and he's trying to be cool and
right.
It's just not working out for him.
that's interesting.
Yeah, but so I like that scene where, you know, he's talking about how he's going to have these big parties and about how he's, there's just going to be all this gymnastics going on. And I just think that, you know, him getting pantsed
oh man.
Is rough. I mean, that's not,
getting pantsed was still a thing when I was in high school.
Oh yeah, it was definitely a thing when I was in high school.
Hurtful.
Yeah. But I do think that, you know, Cameron has said this a few times about why he likes the 80s, or he remarked about this about the 80s, but this is in the time when computers could do anything.
Perfect.
You know, just like, the computer made it, whatever.
The computer is playing war games.
And like, what's so funny about it is, it's is when you look at it now, it's like, oh, the computer just needs more power, so we'll just hook this phone up to whatever it's hooked up to.
Isn't it the cutest thing you ever saw?
You're just like, that is so not how things work.
I think I read something the other day, and this could be completely wrong because I read it on the internet, but it said a floppy diskette could now today hold like 1.5 GIFs.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Something like that. Like, it could literally put that much information on there and you'd be done.
You know, I used to have that shit for real. Like, I had the startup disk and then I had the program disk.
The install. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it was those big, it was the big floppies like that. And I had like, you know, it was so bad because I had different an inventory of like books that I had. And then I would write the, like, a mini reviews of them.
Oh.
Like, after I would read them. And I'm thankful that I do not have that information still.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm sure that was just, I mean, it would be funny to read, but I'd also feel deep shame.
Exactly. I remember I wrote one, not on the big floppy, but on the little one. I had this, like, ongoing story that I was writing. And I had a pretty old computer a couple of years ago, and I put that in. Just to, like, before I trashed all of it, and it was probably one of the worst things I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
So.
I like occasionally cleaning up or, like, if you move or whatever and you come across old stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does this print out? Oh, here's the thing I wrote, and I start reading it going, ugh.
I know.
Oh, no.
Yourself for being such a toolbox.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, I remember when I was writing this thinking that's fucking funny.
This is balls.
That line right there is gold. And I read this and I'm like, that is so set up. Like, that is so bad.
Everybody loves puns. Like, just boom.
How you like that? You're sitting there, you're trying to drop the mic mid story. I got that pun in there for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so, buddy.
One of the other notes that I had about this was, you know how, I don't know that it's all, but a lot of his films happen in Shermer, Illinois.
Shermer, Illinois.
Illinois, yeah. Turn up the Illinois. And I love that their slogan is, one of America's towns. That's just all it says. It's not like, you know, I mean, granted, it's a state motto, but it's not like Nebraska, the good
something
life.
Something capital, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of America's towns, just like the most generic thing.
That has people in it.
A place somewhere is right. What it also could have been. But yeah, so I like that. I think that, you know, all of the silly bra stuff and the designing the woman thing is funny.
Oh, man.
You know, and I don't really, like, the more I watch it, the more I don't really think that Wyatt's very good. He's kind of a wet blanket.
Yeah, I don't know, Gary.
Yeah, he's just kind of got that irritating voice, and he's just not. Mm-hmm. He's just not the. I don't know. He's not the same. He's not the right type of nerd to me.
Well, I think, you know, they probably didn't want them both to be like Gary.
Yeah.
Because it would just be out of control. Like, I don't know. Because, well, I mean, one of them had to be that I don't know guy.
Yeah, but, I mean, Anthony Michael Hall's character is obnoxious, and he's goofy looking.
Yes.
And he's kind of nerdy, right?
Yes.
But Wyatt, like, seems fine. Like, he's a rich kid. He seems like I don't think he's, like, an ugly kid. You know, it's not like he's wildly unattractive or something.
Yeah.
And he just kind of seems like he's got things, you know, under control for the most part. So I'm like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, what is his deal? Is it the computer that he's like a huge nerd about, or what is it?
Well, it's that, and isn't he the one that says he's taking a shit?
Well, he goes, Gary's in here taking a shit when he's talking to the
right, girls. So he like has word vomit. He doesn't know how to talk
well,
to
well, okay. I thought he was just trying to embarrass his friend, but regardless of why he's a nerd.
But like, that's not how, anyway, that's not how you embarrass your friends, I guess, but that's how I would.
Oh, that's not true. Roger used to do that all the time. Good side note, when we would go to like a restaurant or whatever, and whether it'd be Mr. Seabrass or myself or whatever, we'd go there with Roger and we'd go to the bathroom, and Roger would walk into the bathroom like a couple minutes after us in a public bathroom. He'd say, "Oh my God, it smells like shit in here." And so that was always a big laugh for him, but not really for us.
You can't just compare Roger to normal people.
Like, you son of a bitch.
Like, that's just not something that you do.
Yeah, so that's true. But so getting back to the movie, I just put Chet as the best.
Oh my God. Why is he not that character in every movie?
I don't know. He's so
got
incredibly obnoxious.
Pork sandwich and a dirty ashtray.
Dirty ashtray. And I think the thing that really makes me hate him the most is not the laugh, surprisingly. It's when he's going into his room and does that kick.
Oh, with the cigar?
And the elbow pump thing.
It's the best.
Oh, that is so dumb. That was the thing where I was like, oh, this guy's a jerk off. And I do love his early 80s insults, though. Like dickweed, and I think he calls Bimbo. Someone like a butt brain or something. It's something just dumb like that.
Yeah. So I think how he, like, doesn't at some point, oh yeah, she's like, why are you such a dick? And he's like, because I get off on it. He has, like, no reservations about being a horrible person. Like, doesn't care at all.
Yeah, it's Chet, why do you have to be such a wanker? Because I get
wanker,
off on it.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Such a wanker.
Yeah. So, now that we did our very best Kelly
horrible.
LaRock.
I mean, best.
What do you make of Lisa in this?
I like her, I guess. Mm-hmm. She's obviously, like, a very attractive 80s person. I think they tried to find like the most attractive person they could find because she's super hot in this. Mm-hmm. And I like her character because you could like, I mean, you know, I know this is just plot, but like you could make a hot chick and then you can get in all sort of crazy adventures, but she like actually wants to help them, which like I appreciated.
Yeah, for no real apparent reason.
Well, that's like why... she's like really smart and she knows why they made her. Her to like be popular and she like wants to help them have better lives, and so like she immediately starts doing that.
Yeah, that's true.
And so like she could have just like shown up and like, wow, thanks for making me hot, bye, or like fuck you guys or something, but
let's take another clothes shower together.
Not everyone was clothed in that.
That's true.
Did you enjoy Lisa?
Yeah, I liked her. I was watching her going, holy 80s hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ho! Especially when she's at Gary's house.
Yes.
And she's got she's got the water pistol and...
What does he say? I never...
Tossed off
to anything! I was combing my hair!
That is such a great scene because he's doing, like, the double wank move.
Yes.
Like he's got both hands going, and the mom is just such a perfect cast.
Yes.
Casting choice.
And
is just completely out of her mind upset that Gary would be doing that.
Oh my God.
I think that is really funny.
And like that instant moment where they're all yelling at the same time was like the best.
Oh yeah. And the dad has also got some of the best hair in the 80s ever.
Yes. Oh my God.
So I really like that.
The audition like that.
Yeah, probably. So I really like that scene, but it's not my favorite scene. My favorite scene is them going out drinking.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Best line in the movie.
And he's doing the I called her every day, and then the guy says, on the telephone?
God damn day?
Yeah, on the telephone? What's this boy talking about? We know it's on the telephone.
Telephone.
Oh, and...
It's the best. No, but the best line is, give me the keys, I'll drive. From the vaccine.
Yes.
And then he gets home, and Chet...
That's when
he's
he does,
not laughing at you, Chet, is I
that's when he does the booze hounds return, which, you know, Seabrass and I still do say that. It's usually when we're in the same condition as that.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely the best scene. It's good times.
Yeah, that really makes me laugh, and he's got the real squeaky high voice that he's using that really makes me laugh still. And
even during that scene, Wyatt's like, I don't know, Lisa, I'm not supposed to drive.
I don't even have a learner's permit. Give me the keys, I'll drive.
Give me the keys, I'll drive.
Oh, shit, is what he says. And you know, I think it's funny that we're definitely falling into the difficulties of the comedies.
Exactly.
Because it's like, hey, remember this part? This is good. This is fun.
I know.
But something that I wanted to run by you, and I don't know why I never noticed this. Or maybe I did and I just didn't care. But now that I'm old and grouchy, I care.
Sure.
So why do you think that Wyatt has double beds in his room?
So Jerry can sleep over.
He has two single beds in his room. And then he's got like a thing in the middle. So it's like a hotel setup. And that just makes no sense to me.
Probably because Gary sleeps over all the time. Did you see his parents?
Yeah, I guess. It's like...
And Wyatt's rich enough that he's like, Mom, Dad, we need a bed for Gary.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
They're like, all right, we'll get you one. And it's exactly the same.
Right.
It's just so... That's just so strange.
It is weird. I don't know.
Like, I went to one of my friends' house and I go... And I'm like, hey, are we having a sleepover? Yeah, I've already got another bed in here and it's the same as this one.
I gotta
go, so... You know, because he does talk about... There's an allusion to a sister that's getting married or something. And, but that's where they're... That's where Gary is sleeping with...
Schwinnie or Swilly?
It's not Hilly. It's Deb. Hilly. It's Deb. The blonde. Yeah, Deb the blonde. And that's where Gary is, I believe. Cause I think Wyatt and Hilly are in his room or in another room. But I think, cause I'm pretty sure that Gary is in a room that's very distinctly a woman's room. So
maybe
I don't think that,
not.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's, maybe Wyatt's dad sleeps in that other bed with Wyatt.
God damn it. No, nobody's here. Sorry.
It's okay.
We'll walk away.
So I don't know. So I just thought that was interesting. I just noticed that and was like, what the hell? Like, this is an odd choice.
Maybe they were just like, we need another set. Fuck it. Two beds.
Yeah. That's good. I do think one of the other things that I thought was funny is they have that big party and they're in the bathroom and they're talking about pooping and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so that always makes me laugh because they're in there. And Wyatt's about to go to the bathroom. And Gary's just hanging out. Like, yeah, go ahead. Shit right in front of me. I don't give a
right.
shit.
Right. That's what BFFs do, don't you know?
I guess. I don't have friends that... I haven't had ex-wives that I've wanted to be in the bathroom with me.
When you're shitting?
No.
You shouldn't... No. No one should be in the bathroom with you when you're shitting. But no. Your cell phone and your feelings.
Oh, your cell phone or a book. Or something.
Unless you're on Seinfeld and then you have to... Anyway. I know, and, like, you always wonder, cause, this is obviously a anything-can-happen movie, so I always wonder, like, the choices they made for the party when everything goes crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, well, the clothes go out, and, like, who to set, like, I want to be in the room, and they're like, oh, I bet everything should be blue in one room, and, like,
yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is weird. I wonder why that choice, why blue?
Right.
You know, why, I mean, I get that it's a mid-80s movie, but it's like, why the girl with the clothes coming off and...
Right, and the grandparents in the cupboard.
Yeah. My grand. You know, yeah, all that's really funny. I wonder how they do It makes me wonder how they did those stunts or effects or whatever you want to call it.
Right, with like the rocket and...
with everything going up the chimney.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
Hi, Graham.
Yeah, all that stuff's pretty interesting. If you look at that scene close, you can see them moving slightly, so they're just hanging, you know? They didn't like to take a picture and film it or something.
Sure. Boring. Well, they're old.
Yeah, they're old. They're you know, doing their best.
This is Rex Harrison hat.
Yeah. He's funny. That's good.
Do you think that Lisa's like the hottest 80s person they could get for this?
Probably.
I don't really know any hot 80s.
She's got probably the biggest lips I've ever seen on anyone this side of Angelina Jolie.
Right?
It's like, holy fuck. So that was impressive. I was like, wow, I did not remember that.
And I feel like she had to be British, because like otherwise, like it wouldn't be believable if someone with a Jersey accent, like the nanny or something, is like,
"Oh my god, you guys
need to go be popular." You know?
Yeah, so that's good. I did put that. I think that you know the John Hughes bow ending is always fun, just because everything gets you know they.
Oh, the bow ending. Like,
yeah, bow.
Gotcha.
They get,
I was like, I don't remember a boat anywhere.
They, you know, everything works out for them. And
right.
It's nice. And you feel good. You're like, ah, well, good for them. You know, not so good for Ian and Max because they're douchebags.
Well.
But good for them. And, I do like the, I guess I call it the close up mouth conversation. When right before they're ready to stick on those guys.
Yes. Like, are they in the closet?
They're either in the closet or maybe they turn their backs.
Oh yeah, that's right.
An interesting little bit of trivia. Do you know who that main guy with the mohawk is?
An Eskimo?
The actor.
No.
That is Vernon Wells from Commando. The bad guy in Commando. The guy that was wanting to get Matrix and then gets the let off some steam.
What?
Yeah, that's the same guy.
But he's a school teacher.
And those are in... No, and that's not that dude. That's the bald guy. The bald guy is the school teacher.
The mohawk guy.
The mohawk guy. Not the guy with the metal face, but the guy that has the girl on a leash. He was Bennett in Commando. And then in Weird Science, his character's name is Lord General, but he's the dude with the shotgun.
Lord General.
Yeah. And does the screams and all that stuff. But that was, they were both in 1985, so he was really riding high.
In 1985.
Yeah.
See, like, that's another, like, weird choice that I thought was made is, like, why would they decide that a biker gang just comes into the party and they have to fight them? You know what I mean?
Like, it's probably like what a teen boy's worst nightmare would be, to have to stand up to like a biker gang of all disfigured looking people.
Oh, all right.
Like if you had to, maybe she could like, I don't know, maybe she knows them well enough or something. You know, she's like, oh, I know these dudes. They wouldn't want to physically have to fight with anyone, so. Get these guys in here. And then I do like how they're doing they end each other's sentences and all that.
Yes.
Where they do the, you can stay and die, blah, 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 blah. So I think that's good. Well, Mrs. Zelag, do you have anything else about Weird Science or about E.T. that we breezed over or didn't discuss that you wanted to bring up?
Well, despite what Brad thinks, I think that both of these movie music are pretty legit.
Brad didn't like the music in Weird Science?
No, he does. I'm just talking about E.T.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if he doesn't like Oingo Boingo in the Weird Science song, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Right. We'll just get divorced. I don't even know where to go from there. So
it's all downhill from there if you don't like that.
I'll put it in the papers too. Like the didn't like the song Weird
Science. Didn't like Oingo Boingo. Just put didn't like Oingo Boingo. See what people think.
Oh, snap.
That'd be good. All right, well...
I had a good time.
Yeah, I had a good time with these as well. And we have two more... we have our last childhood favorites show next episode.
Sweet.
And we have two more fun ones, I think.
All right.
One of them you haven't seen yet, Cruz.
Oh, no.
So that'll be interesting. So if you have any comments for the show or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. We do, I guess just for listeners out there, have maybe two or three themes already queued up and ready to go. So that's good. But we have had a few suggestions, so you can keep those coming and we'll kind of respond.
Do porn.
Yay or nay. Don't do that. So you can follow the show over at Twitter. And that really threw me off, Cruz. Over at Plain Label Pod, where you could follow me. I'm at Eric Williams 79 and Rachel is at Lady Zlag, and that is Lady Zelag.
Nice.
We also have a Facebook page where you could like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you enjoyed the show and wanted to help us out, you could head over to our website, which is plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com. And over there, you're going to find an Amazon link. If you click that link, it takes you to Amazon's homepage. And if you bookmark that homepage, then anytime you buy anything from Amazon, it will help us out in the process. It'll take some of Amazon's money and it'll give it to us.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fun.
Right. That's so, like Robin Hood shit.
Yeah, it is. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back, like I said, in 2 weeks with our final episode of Childhood Favorites.
Making dreams come true, living tissue, warm flesh. Weird science.